Hi, everybody. I'm Deacon Dave.
And I'm Layperson Lisa.
Welcome to the Deacon Dave
Layperson Lisa show.
Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate that, Layperson Lisa.
That distracted me. I missed the opening.
I know.
Well, I didn't say Deacon Dave with you.
Oh, that's okay. And I didn't say Layperson Lisa because I was watching you point. But as you might notice, I have my goggles on today because we're at the St. Clair of Assisi Retreat Center down in the Buckrow section of Hampton, working on the Retreat Center. And so Lisa kindly came down to meet me. So I cleaned up, but I thought I'd put my glasses on so you could see that I was working. So yes. Maybe I'll just wear them for the podcast
today.
Well, this is great news for those of you who thought that this Choirs of Angels series would never end. It's ending today.
The last one.
We're on the last one in the last hierarchy, number 9 of 9.
Yes.
Which is?
The Seraphim.
The Seraphim. I'm so glad we made it.
I know.
Isn't that a song like a Barry? So glad we made it.
That sounds familiar.
Nobody's going to listen to the show now that I started singing. Anyway, yeah. So what do you have on the Seraphim, Lisa?
They are the angels that are closest to God.
This is good stuff.
And they reflect the highest attribute of God manifest in creation, which is His
love. God's love. Yes. So I guess the question is, Lisa, when we think about the Seraphim, shouldn't we also be a reflection of God's love in the world? And so I guess the question is, how do we go about doing that?
We could ask the Seraphim to help us.
We could ask the Seraphim to help us. We could enter into more of the sacramental life on a more frequent basis.
We could ask God to help us see others as He sees them.
Absolutely. That would be good. So we can be like the Seraphim if we try a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit. They are on fire with the love of God.
Okay. I don't want to be on fire. I don't think.
Hearts on fire.
Hearts on fire. So just.
But they're on fire. They're angels. They're spirits.
Right.
So.
Right. But we wouldn't want to be caught on fire.
Not us. Right. But fire doesn't bother spirits.
But to have a burning love for God.
Yes. Yeah.
Would be good.
That's something to strive for.
I like it.
Yeah. And their name means incandescent ones or burning ones.
Okay. Well, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. They're named what they mean.
Exactly. So what else do you have?
Sacred art portrays them as entirely red and ablaze.
So that's like totally different than the cherubim.
Yes.
Which are like four-sided with four faces and all of that.
Yes, but these angels are described in human form with faces, hands, and feet, but they're existing spiritual beings corresponding to their name. So that was from Isaiah.
Okay, and what does that mean?
That they look like people on fire.
So they look like people on fire.
I guess.
Burning with the love for God.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. So think about it. So God is love, right?
Yes.
So in order to burn with love, imagine how open you have to be receiving that love. Because God is the producer of authentic love. So in order to burn with that sort of love, you have to be really open to receiving that love from God in order to return it.
Yeah.
I mean, God's getting back what He's giving.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
Yeah. They're depicted as having 6 wings but no faces.
Would you make up your mind, Lisa?
I have conflicting information. Oh, well.
Are we going to have to retake the show
now? I hope not.
I hope not either.
I guess you have to do research, people.
Okay, do some research. Yeah. We can't do everything for you.
Right. We just throw the questions out there.
Exactly. So what other stuff do you have?
Oh, so the number of seraphim is considerate, and they appear around the heavenly throne in a double choir, and the volume of their chorus is such that the sound shakes the foundations of the palace.
Now, you know what this makes me think about, Lisa?
What?
We should be shaking the foundations of the church.
Yeah, so you know, like in the Great Amen, like a lot of when we did a mass retreat in January,
right?
And in some of the research, I think it was Father Mike Schmitz, he called it like, I don't remember, like not the lame amen, but kind of like
lame
that
amen.
Because people are just like amen, where you're supposed to like amen.
And right now,
shake the worship space.
And right now, we can't even do that. Somebody's calling me right now, but I'm not going to answer it. So let me shut that off. There we go. But yeah, I mean, right now we can't even sing the amen.
Right.
Although I'm going to some churches and they are singing.
Oh, so St. Joseph's, we sang Alleluia. Well, the cantor sang Alleluia last week.
I wasn't there because I was somewhere.
And I'm...
else. Oh, I was in my son's wedding.
Yeah, you were at an important place.
Well, there, they sang the Holy, Holy, Holy. We went to a church down in Virginia Beach. They sang everything.
Nice.
They didn't sing the opening hymn and all of that. Well, the cantor did.
Yeah, okay.
But everything
people
else...
didn't. Maybe because they didn't have
I think people were definitely singing the stuff that they know that's part of the liturgy of the Eucharist and all of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we have our masks on, so, you know.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Let's see. The seraphim are distinct from the cherubim, who carry or veil God and show the presence of his glory in the earthly sanctuary, whilst the seraphim stand before God as ministering servants in the heavenly court.
Right, so we talked about the cherubim last week, right?
Yes.
Are in and around the tabernacles.
Yes.
But then here, the seraphim are in and around the throne of God.
Yes.
That's pretty good stuff, isn't
it? Yeah.
Very. That's my new thing. It's not cool or neat. It's good stuff.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
It's good stuff.
That's good stuff. Yeah.
But my wife says I say it too much when we do Monday night Bible study.
Good stuff?
Good stuff.
Oh, okay. Right.
So we'll have to go to something new in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
So what else do you have on the seraphim? I haven't done that yet.
Well, not yet.
There we go.
So St. Jerome notes that they not only burn by themselves, but they also inflame others with the love of God. So that kind of incorporates what we were talking about in the beginning.
Right. And really, you have to imagine, Lisa, that if we are filled with the love of God, it's going to have an effect and an impact on the people around us.
Yes.
It can't help but do that.
Yes.
I mean, when the love of God is poured out through his people, it's going to make a big splash. It's not going to put out the fire, but it's going to make a big splash.
Well, I heard so there's a priest, Father Josh Johnson, and he was talking about how people, he heard, I don't know exactly the story, but because of people's joy, they kind of helped convert people to Catholicism because people are like, what, like, how are you so joyful? And they kind
of... I want some of what that person has.
Yeah.
And often you see that when someone comes back on a retreat, they'll go, wow, what happened to that person on that
retreat?
Yeah. They're on fire.
Yeah, that's
right. The word they use.
Yeah, so I once went to a church that we had a visiting priest, and he was just so joyful, and he several times during the Mass, he would say, oh, Jesus is my best friend, Jesus is my best friend. And that's actually how I came to go on Curcio, because I was like, well, I want that. And then when I was looking up Curcio, head of Curcio in the U.S., he's like, yeah, Jesus is my best friend. So that's why I went on Curcio, because I'm like, oh, that's how I get that.
Now look at how that joy got you searching something out.
Yeah.
And then from searching something out, you got affirmation.
Yeah.
You went on Curcio, and now here you are, the director of Curcio for the Greater Hampton Roads Curcio, and somehow you've got yourself wrapped into a foundation, too.
Yeah.
So God has done a lot of good work with you, Lisa, in the last 5 years and has much more good work to do with you, I do believe.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. And talking further about saints, St. Francis of Assisi, when he received the stigmata, it was a seraphim who appeared to him.
There we go. And it's funny, here we are at the St. Clair Retreat Center, and you're talking about St. Francis.
Who, they were good friends?
Oh, well, yeah. St. Francis was really a mentor for St. Clair.
Yeah.
And helped her to, because she was from a very affluent family.
Like he was.
Affluent? Yeah, one of those. And I'm not sure.
Rich.
A rich.
Yeah.
Well, they had more than others, but all she wanted was a life of poverty. And her father didn't want that, so she had to sneak out. And so St. Francis met her and got her to a place where the nuns were that was controlled by the Pope so that the father couldn't get to her. He tried to get to her. But, it's a very interesting story how she really turned away from a very ritzy life, if you will, that she could have had to take a life of poverty.
Because she wanted probably that joy that St. Francis had.
And you know, you really, when you talk about joy, and the first beatitude is, you know, blessed are those who are poor in spirit or have a poverty in spirit. And I think a lot of times people really misunderstand what that means. And it doesn't mean that you're poor in spirit. It just means that you recognize your reliance on God for everything that you do, that you fully rely on God. So to be poor in spirit is to understand your need to depend on God to live a joyful life. So when you look at poverty in that way, because sometimes we think all of the stuff of the world is going to be what's going to give us joy, but it doesn't.
No.
And it certainly doesn't get us through the narrow gate that we talked about a couple of weeks ago at Mass.
Yeah, it's about detachment.
Detachment. Ooh, that sounds like another podcast. So what other things do you have? We're already at 10 minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Because of this burning love, more than any other angel, they have the most perfect knowledge of God, which makes them the most perfect adorers.
Wow. And I like that because...
That's why they're right at the side or the throne of God.
But I like this. You have this knowledge of God, and then you have adoration of God.
Mm-hmm.
So because of their knowledge of God, they are more perfect adorers
of
God. And so what does that say about us? That we need to continue to learn more about God, enter into deeper relationship with God, and then think about it. That make our adoration that much more intimate and intense, if you will.
Yeah.
Speaking of adoration.
Yes.
What are you thinking?
Oh, I thought you were going to give me some breaking news.
No, there is no breaking news. But what I was going to say is that we have a chance every Sunday for adoration.
Oh, yeah.
When the Lord is up on the Eucharist and up on the altar. In the Eucharist, the Lord is present to us. And we are called to adore him in that moment. And in fact, he is gazing upon us as we are walking up the aisle. We're the bride going to meet the bridegroom. To who is going to receive us, who is Jesus.
And the seraphim are at the sides of the altar, adoring Jesus with us.
Yeah, there's a lot going on at Mass that we don't see because we don't see the 99%.
Yeah.
So do you have anything else, Lisa?
Well, let's see. So according to Isaiah, the seraphim, when the angel came and put a coal.
Yep.
So that was a seraphim.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was that a reconciliation thing, if I'm remembering correctly?
You don't have that?
I think it has to do with reconciliation, the burning, if I'm remembering correctly, that reading from
when
Isaiah.
When he touched and purified the prophet's lips. Okay.
Right. Okay, go ahead. Read what it says.
Oh, that henceforth these might be consecrated to the utterances of inspiration.
Right, so his lips were consecrated, I guess, to speak the word of God.
Yeah.
Right, that's good stuff, Lisa.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
So do you have anything else?
No, that's it.
Well, that's pretty good. So we should really try to have a burning love for God.
Yes.
To recognize that in order to have a burning love for God, well, God is the source of that burning love.
Yes.
And so the more knowledge we have, the better our adoration of God, the more of that love that we're going to receive. So it just kind of builds on itself, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does. Mm-hmm. Well, there we go.
That's it for the angels.
That's it. We're going to come up with something different for next week.
Are we doing our...
Litany of Humility.
Yeah.
Let's do the Litany of Humility. We'll start that next week.
Okay.
I'm Deacon Dave.
I'm Layperson Lisa.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.